Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ken Davis is here. I can't see over this stack of books here that he's written, folks. Ken, as you know, is one of our nation's top historians. He's the author of Don't Know Much About History, Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. Of course, the irony is he knows a whole lot about these things. More Deadly Than War, that's his book on the Spanish influenza from 100 years ago. On and on, so many books. You've seen him on television. You've heard him on this show now for how long? About 16 years. He's been hanging out with us on a regular basis. He's our good friend, Ken Davis. Welcome back.
And it never gets old, Jim. Thanks for having me. And I think we've done Labor Day for a few years, haven't we?
That's exactly right.
I've been hearing Jump for a few years on...
Yep.
Labor Day.
And you paid attention. That's good for you. So Ken, let's talk about, I love talking about the origins of Labor Day because you tell the story so well. Remind folks how far back this goes. And, of course, you know, this is when the millennials tune us out because they don't like history. But for those who do like history, what do you think?
Well, first of all, history is when people hear history, they think, oh, dates, battles, and speeches. It's
right.
Boring. And you and I know, Jim, that from talking about this for a long time, that history is about real people doing real things. It's about the connection between the past and the present. And Labor Day is certainly a very perfect example of that. Most of us, except for those of us who are working today, have the day off, and they have the day off thanks to the organized labor movement, primarily. It started in 1882, unofficially, with a parade here in New York City.
Almost 140 years ago.
That's correct. A group of union organizers, and there were no unions in 1882 officially, got together with the idea of a day to celebrate the spirit of the American worker. They wanted to have a march and walk down the street and have a family day, but they were also really organizing for some very basic things.
But they wanted the day off, but they weren't asking for pay, were they? They were just wanted the day off.
They wanted the day off, but like the people who are marching in places like Hong Kong, they had a purpose.
Right.
And the purpose was fair wages, a 5-day work week, an 8-hour day, and the end of child labor, among mm-hmm. other things. And
were those on the agenda in 88? Were those things on the agenda? Were they really thinking five days and 8-hour days?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this is a reminder to people who may not realize and understand that work at the end of the 19th century in America meant 6-day weeks, 12-hour
right.
days,
right.
no unemployment, no sick days, no benefits, no yeah. Social Security, no pension, no retirement fund.
And a day off with pay wasn't even part of anybody's reality.
No.
I mean, it wasn't even in anybody's minds.
Certainly paid vacations weren't on anybody's mind.
Right.
I mean, this was survival. And we're also talking about the most brutal and horrific of it was child labor. We're not
right.
talking about newspaper boys
right.
Selling newspapers on the street or
talking
somebody
about
helping
boys
out
and
on the family farm.
11-year-old boys that going down into coal mines, things like that.
Children going into coal mines because they could fit into the smaller spaces to dig out the coal. Young girls in textile mills
mm-hmm.
forced to go into the machinery when something got tangled. Children working in candy factories, walking on catwalks above vats of boiling candy. Jane Addams, the social reformer in Chicago of Hull House, writes about little girls who did not even want to think about getting candy at Christmas because they worked 12-hour days in candy factories.
Mm-hmm.
this was part of American labor and American business at the turn of the 19th century. The holiday came into effect in 1894, signed into law by Grover Cleveland, who was not a great friend of labor. So this was not because he thought organized labor was such a great thing. The year before, he had used federal troops to break a strike against the Pullman
Car Company. Yeah.
That's right. It was the biggest company in America.
It was presidential expediency, wasn't it?
Yes, and he understood at that time, like a lot of people would say today, that the government was really doing the business of business. And I don't mean small business. I mean big business.
Right.
And I don't want to come off here as, this is not Marxism. This is just the history of this country. So Cleveland had sent troops in to break the strike. And they killed several workers, about a dozen had died. And this was typical of this period in American history. Cleveland said that he was sending the striker breakers in because the railroads carried the U.S. mail, so the strike was interfering with the mail. That was his ostensible reason for doing that. A year later, he signs this bill into law to give workers a day off, thinking that this is going to help him with the working class people in America when he ran for re-election. It did not help. So this is the picture of labor at the beginning of the 20th century.
That movement continued to harden and grow and grow itself all the way through, I'm going to say, the 60s, at least the 60s.
I was around
in those days.
Absolutely, but the other point I would make is that most of the things that those union organizers were working for, fair wages, decent work conditions, end of child labor, did not come about on a national level until 1938, during the Great Depression, under Roosevelt, with the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938, which ended most child labor nationally.
One thing I want to point out before we go to a break here, so many things that we enjoy today, even if you work for a company where the benefits are great and there's no union, so many things that we enjoy today in America as a worker is because we stand on the shoulders of those people, all those people who lived back in those days, 120, 130 years ago. Both of my parents were union members. We stand on their shoulders, Ken, and I think that's a part of history we need to not forget. We benefit from the sacrifice of the people who've gone before.
And I know that that's probably not music to the ears of some of your listeners, but it's an important part of
our history. No. We, most of us understand that out here on Main Street, we do. Quick break. Right back with Ken Davis. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.